I must say at the time, I was not surprised that he resigned. I mean, I think we knew pretty clearly at the end of December of 1973 that there were tapes that were turned over to our office that made it pretty clear that he would have a very, very difficult time remaining in office. So I think my thoughts were that I expected it to happen. I wasn't surprised, but of course you always are surprised. In fact, the real surprise was the day before when he actually announced the resignation and it came over on the AP. I remember my office was next to where the AP wire was, and you heard four or five bells go off, which was a very unusual event. And I must say I was just totally shocked at that point.
You mentioned the tapes, the White House tapes that were recorded in the Oval Office. Richard Nixon had those set up for himself. Without those tapes, would he have served out his second term?
I think he would have had a much better shot at serving out his second term because the tapes really were absolutely incriminating. What is ironic about the tapes, and what I don't think most people realize, is that the taping system was set up in response to the Tax Reform Act of 1969. One of the criminal acts that Nixon committed was tax fraud. Every president since Harry Truman has donated their presidential papers to the National Archives and was able to take a tax deduction for that donation. In 1969, Congress amended the law such that presidents would no longer be able to do that. Nixon, as it turned out, did not donate his papers in time and wound up backdating a deed to make it appear as though he had donated them in time. So, one, he had committed tax fraud. He had tried to lobby against the bill in the first instance. But the one exception to the 1969 Tax Reform Act were objects and tapes. And so what he wound up doing was putting in the taping system so that after he left office, he would be able to go through, donate certain of those tapes every year to the government and be able to take an enormous tax deduction based on those gifts, which would have circumvented properly the 69 Tax Reform Act. So at the end of the day, the irony in all of this is that it really was his own greed that in the end sort of swallowed him up.
Did you agree with Gerald Ford's decision to pardon Richard Nixon?
At the time, I did not. In fact, Leon Jaworski had each of us write memos to him explaining what we should do in terms of prosecuting Nixon. And I think this was before the pardon. And I certainly didn't agree with it at the time, but I think in retrospect, it probably was the best thing for the country. You have to kind of live back in that time period. I mean, everybody was wrapped up in this. The business of government was wrapped up in what was going on in this Watergate scandal. And I think it was, in the end, a wise move to really try to put this entire episode behind us.
Looking back, what has the lasting legacy of Watergate been to not just presidents, but to the government itself? Is it a more open and transparent government, or has the government maybe closed in on itself to prevent another Watergate from happening and from getting out?
I don't think it's closed in on itself. I think, look, this was a very, very unusual circumstance. You really had a president of the United States who basically not only bugged the opposition party, but also really undermined our entire system in the executive branch, using the IRS to go after who we perceived as enemies, using thugs to go after demonstrators that were demonstrating against the administration, using federal agencies for his own political benefit. I mean, it was a very unique circumstance. People try to compare it to different activities that have occurred since with the Iran-Contra or with other presidents where there have been special prosecutors appointed. Nothing comes close to what occurred here in terms of the overall effort that really undermined our entire system of government at the time. In terms of a lasting legacy, I mean, certainly it has made people more skeptical of taking the government at its word, which is probably a healthy thing. Obviously, one of the immediate effects was to change the campaign finance laws that essentially kind of were directed at this whole problem of the cash that was used to pay the Watergate burglars and to do other nefarious things that the Nixon administration ordered. And unfortunately, all of that now has been undermined by the recent Supreme Court decision. So, you know, there's a mixed bag of legacies that come out of this. But I think the bottom line is that I don't think we'll ever see anything this bad in our lifetime and hopefully never again.
The question always comes up when it comes to Watergate is why. Richard Nixon appeared to be headed for a fairly easy re-election in 1972. So why did this happen?
Oh, I think there's a number of reasons that really have to do with his personality. You know, even though, sure, it seemed like he was a sure winner in 1972, I think he had a certain paranoia about him. He had a certain kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but people around him really played off this paranoia and his desire to know more and to undermine his opposition no matter what the means were. And you had people like Colson, Haldeman, and Ehrlichman, and Mitchell, who was the former attorney general, who really played into that, and it was a way to ingratiate themselves with Nixon. So everybody was trying to do a little bit of one-upsmanship here that would play to his, what I would describe as, very dark side.